guilty and the ghostly. I've been so bad, I see a skin in here and voices. I can't believe it's me. The guilty and the ghostly.
Hey y'all, quick disclaimer before we dive in. We did consider deleting and re-recording all of our earlier episodes because, wow, the audio is criminal. Straight to jail. But after some deep soul searching and mild embarrassment, we decided that it is important to stay humble. So we're keeping them exactly as they are. Crackly audio, awkward moments, and us having absolutely no clue as to what we were doing. Think of it as a time capsule, a very primitive time capsule. Stick with us though, the audio does get better, we promise. The growth was necessary, lessons were learned, and microphones were upgraded. Thank you all so much for the support, and with that being said, enjoy this absolute audio disaster and listen to us evolve.
Episode 2.
Hello guys, how are y'all doing?
How's your week been?
It's been stressful, but I'm alive and I'm thankful.
Girl, I've had a week.
Literally, I feel like everyone I have talked to has had a week this week.
So, I didn't want to tell you until you came in here and you were locked in here so that I knew you would come over and record and not run away. You know how I said Sunday, Josh came home and killed a copperhead and killed a copperhead right before that?
Right.
Then Monday night, we came home and he killed another copperhead.
Right.
And then Tuesday, we came home and he killed another copperhead.
Okay. That is actually terrifying.
And that's not even including the other snake that we seen, but it wasn't venomous, so we just let it go.
Okay. So where did you find these snakes at? Like, in the house?
No, they were on our front porch.
Oh, girl. Mm-mm.
Four. Yeah, three copperheads and then one. I think Josh said it was a hog nose or something like that.
That's really terrifying. I would have screamed.
Yep.
I probably wouldn't have came, honestly. I actually hate snakes, y'all. It's a very, very bad fear. I don't know why. I think it's just from childhood. Like,
it's probably because your dad's terrified of
them. Yes. Dad would never let anybody go outside if there was a snake. He'd be like, let me call Bubba or something.
Or he'd have Seth go kill
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what story do you have for us today?
So it's a little bit of a small story. I'm going to say that. There's not a lot of articles on it.
So it's like a lesser known?
Yeah, lesser known, but also the news has covered it, like Dateline has covered it. Uh-huh. So I don't know. It's just not very talked about. I've never heard somebody talk about this case. And when I found it, I was like, that's very close to home. I got to do this case.
Okay.
So this case, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you where it starts off. Okay.
Okay.
So we're diving in. On October 29th, 2006, in Kilgore, Texas, two gentlemen were out practicing their target shooting on an oil lease property about 10 to 15 minutes from town when they smell an unpleasant and alarming aroma. Yeah. After glancing around for a moment, they finally recognized that there seemed to be something burning in the distance. As they approached the fire, one of the guys stated that whatever is in the fire burning looks like a mannequin.
Do you ever listen to Crime Junkie and Morbid? It's never a mannequin.
Yeah, it's never a mannequin. It said, they stated that they looked at each other like, is it really a mannequin? And they were like, no, this is not a mannequin. They thought about it and they both agreed that they needed to call the law enforcement and get them down there as fast as they could.
Okay.
So,
could you imagine having to make that call? Like, there's a fire burning, and so right now they're still thinking it's a mannequin.
Yes. Right now they're skeptical. They're like, maybe it's a mannequin. Maybe it's just some kids playing a prank, you know, or like, but why is it smelling bad? You know?
Yeah, that has to be. It's almost like in denial. Like, they probably knew what it was, but it's so inconceivable that they're just like, it's a mannequin. There's no way it's anything else.
Yeah, and also not to mention that not only did they see the fire burning, but there were clothes beside the fire.
In the fire or just like next to the fire?
Next to the fire.
Okay.
Like on the outer part of the fire. You know how the middle of the fire is burning a lot and the outer part is just
like the ambers and stuff. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
So it's right there on the ambers.
Okay.
So they agreed and they got someone down there. And who came down there was Lieutenant Eddie Hope, but he was a sergeant at this time. And he was the person who was sent out to the scene. He said in an interview that there was wood under the body and wood on top of the body, with a gas can lid near, but there's no gas can. There's a gas can lid, no gas
can. No gas can.
Right.
And wood underneath and wood. Okay, gotcha. I'm following.
So it kind of makes sense why the two gentlemen could be like, yeah, it kind of looks like a mannequin, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can't really see it.
And with the wood being, I mean, all, chances of you falling in a fire and an accident happening's pretty slim, but not impossible. But with wood being underneath and on top, then and then the missing gas can.
Exactly.
Okay.
But there's no evidence of this missing gas can, and I don't think they ever found it either.
Oh.
Which, it wasn't really a big part in news articles. They were like, yeah, there was a gas can lid here, but they never mentioned the gas can. Okay. So I'm just like, where's...
I wonder if they threw it in the fire and it burned up.
Yeah. This body was completely unrecognizable. Like,
oh, that's sad.
What belongings this person had with them was $4, which was stuffed in their pocket, which was burning in the amber, and a lavender tank top.
That's sad. So at this point, do they know it's a female yet or a male?
They're describing it as a female. It looks like a female.
Purple top. Most guys, not all guys, but most guys aren't going to be wearing a lavender top. So.
Especially a purple tank top, because it was like a strap top, you know?
Right.
But they could not identify her, so the police started investigating. What they did have, which was her DNA, but it didn't match up to anyone they knew. So back in 2006, the technology for like DNA testing, blood testing, it wasn't the greatest. Like, we definitely advanced so much more.
Yeah, it was still, what was it, early 90s, that DNA testing? So it's only, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not great, but it was at least something.
Yeah, and what the lieutenant said, Eddie Hope, in the interview is that when they ran the DNA, it was nobody that they knew, meaning like nobody in the town.
Were they able to get any characteristics? Like, could they tell like what color her hair was or her ethnicity?
So, yes, they did. They actually ended up getting a replica made because they could kind of see her face shape and everything. And they could also see that she had blue eyes. So.
It is so interesting to me, and the talent that it takes to be able to look at their bone structure and just small features or even just a little bit of features and to be able to recreate their facial shape or sketches or, and then you get those others where they draw it and it doesn't look anything like them.
Exactly. But I'm going to show you this picture and we can definitely post it to our Instagram and everything.
Okay.
But they did a hell of a job sculpting her. Like, they definitely made her look a little bit older in the sculpture than she actually was.
But okay, so that's the recreation and that's her.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like that's pretty similar.
Yeah, like one thing that I noticed is the nose and the replica is quite a bit longer. And like you said, she does look a lot older than what she actually was. That's right. Crazy.
And also that was kind of an older photo, like of her when she was younger. This is a more recent photo of her.
Oh.
And we can also post that too.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's very like, I feel like it's pretty spot on, kind of.
And where was this at? Where are we at?
So we're right now.
Kilgore.
Yes,
right?
We're okay. In Kilgore. But yeah, we'll get into
get to where she's from and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So the police started investigating. They didn't find anybody in the town that they knew with the same DNA that matched up with the victims. But what they did find on the autopsy was semen in her body from a well-known and a local sex offender from the town.
I'm surprised. I wonder if that could burn up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, with the fire being as hot as it is, mm-hmm. and then with her being unrecognizable, obviously she was burnt very badly. I wonder if there was a chance that... I guess so, because people burn things to hide the evidence. That would be part of it.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't know too much about that. I don't want to be too, like, detailed on here, but I feel like because of where it was found at, it didn't burn up as quick as, like, the outer part.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
In the most respectful way.
So it was inside of her body.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They also had her jeans on the side and her jeans and underwear, which they could have also gotten the DNA from her underwear, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot they didn't really mention on this case, like not a lot of details, which I completely understand out of just respect for the families, you know, but yeah. They did find that, and the sex offender in question is Joseph Wayne Barnett. During the interview with the police, Barnett stated that he did have sex with a woman on this day, but he never killed anyone.
Red flag.
Yeah. And they also asked him, well, what was this woman's name? You know, trying to identify Lavender Doe right now. And he was like, oh, I don't remember.
So was he just like, it was just a random hookup and I don't remember.
He was like, it's just a random hookup. I don't remember, basically.
You can at least remember somewhat of a name, even if it's just a random hookup.
Exactly. And the name he gave the police was, I think her name was Ashley, which is not anywhere close to her name.
He's just trying to throw him off.
He did say that. But after this, the police decided they didn't have enough evidence and no info on the victim. So they laid the body to rest in Kilgore at the cemetery. And all her headstone said was Jane Doe. And up until 2021, she remained known as Lavender Doe because of the shirt they found at the crime scene.
Oh, that's it's so sad because they didn't have her name, but Lavender Doe, it's almost pretty. It's almost like a pretty name.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, normally they give the serial killers those stupid nicknames like to glorify them and everything, yes. But I feel like Lavender Doe is very...
It's very elegant in a way, you know? And another thing is they laid her to rest at the cemetery and she's still there till this day in Kilgore. Now, jumping forward to July 20th, 2018. Okay, so it's a big jump. So we were just in 2006, October 29th, 2006.
And then now we're in July of
2018. There was an announcement made by the Gregg County Sheriff's Office stating that they were looking for a man named Joseph Wayne Burnett, who was 41 at the time. And they were looking for him because he failed to register as a sex offender. Okay.
Okay.
So he has a charge for him right now. They're trying to arrest him because he failed to register as a sex offender. And probably wondering, well, what did he do? Why did he have to get registered as a sex offender?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of public indecent exposure. They were trying to get him for that. And on July 20th, 2018, they actually ended up arresting him. They ended up finding him and arresting him because of the and decent exposure. So.
Wait, you said there are two counts, though?
Well, there's one count.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said there were two.
No, but he did get in trouble for sexual assault in 1996, and he was also convicted of vehicle burglary in 1994.
Okay, so he does at least have somewhat of a rap sheet. Maybe not just sexual motivated crimes, but he does have a rap sheet.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's kind of just, I mean, he's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Let's just put it at that. Well, he was arrested that day. And another police report happened to be filed the day before, on the 19th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The report was about a missing girl. Her name is Felicia Pearson. Her mom had called the police because she was concerned that her daughter was in danger and that they haven't seen her in about a week.
How old is she?
I think at the time,
Is she like teenage or young adult?
Young adults. Okay. It said that she was in her early 20s.
Early 20s. Okay.
Yeah. So Felicia Pearson is missing and her mom is very, very concerned about her. She hasn't heard from her in a week. A couple days later, Felicia's body was reported to be found in the woods west Birdsong Street in Longview. She was sadly pronounced dead on July 24th, 2018. I also tried to look up the cause of death and I couldn't find anything.
Didn't, wasn't listed. So was she in touch with her parents a lot? Is that what kind of cued them that something's wrong? She's missing. We can't get a hold of her.
It seemed like that. Whenever she passed in her obituary, they were like, she was a wonderful girl, you know, like we loved her and everything, you know, like they were close. It seemed like they were very close.
I couldn't even imagine.
Exactly. It would be like if Addie.
I know. And I mean, even with me and mom, I talk to mom, if not every day, almost every day, or we at least text once or twice a day. So I think if something were to happen to me, obviously my husband and kids would notice I was gone. But I feel like mom or even Tamara, I talk to Tamara every single morning. So that would be a huge red flag if she didn't talk to me and hey, something's going on. So it sounds like they were definitely well aware quickly something was going on.
Because when her mom made the police report the 19th and Barnett was arrested on the 20th and then she was found on the 24th.
So it's like wham bam, thank you ma'am.
Yes.
Very quick.
So Barnett was arrested the day after she was reported missing.
That's quick.
Yeah. But he wasn't arrested for her missing. He was arrested for the...
indecent exposure.
Yes.
Okay.
Then 4 days later, on the 24th, she's pronounced dead on the side of the road. So the police had one major suspect in this case, and it was Barnett himself.
Mm-hmm.
Barnett was the last person to see Felicia before she went missing because they both had been living together at the Contessa Inn.
So that, obviously.
It's so they were roommates and it was said like her parents were shocked when they found out that she was living with a sex offender. Like they
did they know? I guess they didn't know him. Mm-hmm.
They would have never thought she would have been, like, living with someone like that.
Maybe she didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think she knew. And then in one of her ex-husband's statements, he said it wasn't like Felicia to be hanging around those people.
So Felicia did have an ex-husband?
Yes.
Did they look into him thinking maybe it was him, or were they pretty quick on to Burnett?
They were pretty quick on Burnett, I'm pretty sure, because I don't know how it happened or how her mom got suspicious, but maybe, like, in the end... Like, they did.
Or maybe, like, her and the ex-husband weren't in contact all the time, and they knew she... Did they know she at least lived with somebody? They just know... Okay. So, if she's living with somebody, he's the last person to see her. They live together.
Yeah. All the police have to do is just go to her apartment, see that he's living there, and then bam.
Yeah.
Bam, thank you, ma'am.
You're a person of interest.
Exactly.
Okay.
After finding this out, they brought Joseph Wayne Burnett in for questioning, where he proceeded to confess to Felicia Pearson's murder. So he's like, yes, I did do
it. He said he did. Did he give them everything, or did he say, yeah, I did it, and not give them any other information?
He said, yeah, I murdered Felicia Pearson and the girl back in 2006, Lavender Doe.
So he just unfolded like everything. A napkin. Just word vomit of the mouth. I've killed people. Oh my gosh.
And not to mention, if he's killed somebody in 2006 and has gotten away with it, and he just now killed somebody in 2018, that's a big year difference.
Yeah,
it's a large gap. I
wonder
how many people, I'm not going to assume, but I'm going to question.
Do they think he maybe killed even more than that before Lavender Doe was found? Because normally it escalates and it builds. Well, I guess he did have a little bit of a rap sheet, but still, to kill somebody and burn them like that, just disregard them.
Just get away with it. Like, you're in questioning with the police. They're asking you, hey, we know you know this girl. Like, we found your semen.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, we hooked up, but I didn't kill her. Like, just so nonchalantly.
Yeah.
That is a serial killer. Like, I'm telling you, there has to be more victims out there. But he proceeds to tell them, like, yeah, I murdered both these people. And so after this happened, after finding this out, they ran the DNA again from the Lavender Doe case because the technology advancements.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2018. So yeah, technology has very much advanced since then.
Yeah.
And they finally found out who the person really was, who unfortunately lost their life on October 28th, 2006, which was 21 years ago. So
21 year gap.
She has not been found. Like, she hasn't had a name, nothing for 21 years.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. And her family doesn't know.
Her family has no clue.
Like, it's bad enough that she had to go 21 years nameless.
Exactly.
But then her family also had to go 21 years without knowing what happened to their baby. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And the DNA revealed that the person who has been known as Lavender Doe for the past 21 years was actually a lovely girl in her 20s whose name is Dana Lynn Dodd. She has been described as smart, very strong-willed, and very empathetic for others around her.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
I know. You're going to cry. I feel like you're going to cry.
I don't cry. Does he say why he did it? Or will you get to that?
I will definitely get to that.
Okay.
Because he really done ticked my gears in his statement in court. Like, it's just...
Oh, so you have court and everything. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, Dana had a great heart despite everything she's been through. She grew up really on a rockier side.
Mm-hmm.
Her father bounced around houses. I'm pretty sure it was said that her real mother had passed away when she was a little bit younger, and she lived with her stepmom. She loved her family and her friends. She grew up in Florida with her stepmom and step-siblings, and they all loved her very, very deeply. With Barnett's confession, he ended up being sentenced 3 times. For each count, he received 50 years. So, the not registering as a sex offender was 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
For killing Felicia Pearson was 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for killing Dana Lynn Dodd was 50 years.
Wow.
Which I think on the murders, it should have been more. That's just me.
Yeah.
But the judge did say there would be a possibility for parole after 25 years are served.
Are you kidding me? So let me take this human's life who probably wasn't even 25 yet. She didn't even get 25 years of life. And your punishment is going to last. That's crazy.
Yep. And get this. He is now housed at the Mark W. Michael unit in Tennessee Colony, Texas.
Really?
He's still alive. Still eating, drinking, sleeping in a sheltered house. Everything. Everything. And I have a few sad statements to read for you from the courtroom.
That is so sad. I'm glad they're able to find out who she was. And finally, I mean, I know it took, you know, 21, 25 years, whatever we said it was. And she finally got her actual name, but still, it's senseless.
I know. And it's just like, at what cost? Like, he's still alive. Those girls passed away. They've been laid to rest for a while now, and he's still alive.
Like, and what a wuss to be brought in to be questioned about one murder and then being like, oh, but I did this, this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
Sounds like a child to me. Mm-hmm. Like a crappy human man-child.
So this is from Dystrophy.com, and I'm also going to read off my other sources at the end.
Okay.
But,
And we can also attach them in the show notes, too, in case anybody wants to go look at the articles.
Yeah, yeah. So this 43-year-old man, Joseph Wayne Burnett, stood in front of a judge and muttered, I want to get this over with. I want everybody to get their closure.
No, you don't. You're just a piece of crap.
Yeah. That's what ticked me off the most, because it's just like,
oh, this is an inconvenience to me. I just want to get this over. Yeah. Okay, well, what about the 20-something years they had to wait to find out what happened to their baby? You could have gotten it over with that day, but you chose not to. You gave him some stupid name and said, oh, I just hooked up with her.
Knowing damn well you didn't. It's just, oh my gosh, it's horrible. I'm gonna tear up. Okay. Her victim impact statement, Pearson's aunt, said that discovering her niece had died was the worst day of her life. That was the day you took away mother, a daughter, a niece, and a sister.
Wait, she was a mom? She had kids? How old were her kids?
It didn't say.
That is awful.
And this one really made me upset too, which is so sad, but let me read it to you.
Why do you gotta side-eye me when you grab it?
Because I'm scared. Okay. So, this is from Dana's half-sister.
Okay.
Her name is Amanda. Amanda Dodd said, these past 15 years have been difficult, wondering where she was and if she was safe. Instead, we got a phone call saying that some monster took her life away. My sister will never get the chance to know her nephews. She'll never have the chance to walk down the aisle to experience motherhood. You don't deserve anyone's forgiveness. Justice has not been served here, and it will not be served until you are dragged to your hell.
Good for her.
I know.
Put that piece of crap in his place.
Reading that gave me chills, low-key. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know if I could do that to do. I mean, I guess you never know until you're in that situation, but to have to describe what you're feeling in words when there is no way to describe how you were feeling.
Exactly. Like, you're just at a loss for words. To be honest, it's just heartbreaking that they had to go up there and actually see the guy that murdered their babies. You know what I mean? Like, I could not do that. I would probably want to murder him. Like,
well, you
realistically, yes. You know, I feel like that's a normal,
that's happened before,
for real.
Yeah, there was, I think it was, which I may cover the case later, but there was a mom, actually there's two cases that come to mind. There was a mom that went to court and she shot the guy that abused and killed, I don't know if he killed her children, but something happened with her kids, and she went up there and assaulted the guy. And then there was another guy where I think they were transporting the suspect and the dad shot the killer and they got it on video.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to cover that.
Yeah, we'll have to get some more information.
For sure. But something a little bit, I mean, there's nothing good about this case. It's very tragic, but something that I thought was pretty, a little bit light shining through the bad times was something I read, and I'll read it to you. So it says that Dana's family decided to remain her buried in Longview because her family realized there was a group of people for years that would go to her grave and maintain it. And they felt like she was part of the Longview family.
Oh, that's sweet.
Like, they would go out and put flowers, they would mow.
So they gave up bringing her closer to them just because all the community like gathered around to make sure she was taken care of until she was identified.
Exactly.
That is so sweet.
It's so sweet. And they still have groups that go out there and do that, like clean a grave.
Go and take care of her. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is sweet. Did it say why she came to Texas from Florida?
Yes. So it says that she moved from Florida in 2003. So in 2003, she left Florida and came to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's just so she can start a life, you know?
Like, start over?
Yeah. And another thing I didn't mention earlier on how she even got involved with Burnett.
Okay, yeah.
Was she was doing magazine sales at a Longview Walmart. So she was standing outside the Walmart, like, asking people if they like to buy
just
something.
Just doing her job, normal thing.
Yes. And it said that Burnett said, "Hey, get in my car and I'll buy something from you."
And you just want to scream, like, "No, girl, no, yes. Go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall for it."
But she did. And I think he was lying, even in that first interview where he was like, "Oh, yeah, we hooked up." There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way they hooked up. And then it just escalated so quickly from that. You know what I mean? I really do think that she was a victim of rape before she died.
Yeah.
I feel like Felicia helped get Dana's name back.
Bring her justice.
Yeah, I feel like Felicia definitely helped in that sense. Like, it sucks the way she did help, but, like, him going in for murder and then him just being like, "Oh, yeah, I did that. And I also did this," you know, like.
Could you imagine those detectives, like, they think they're getting him for this, and then he's like, "Oh, yeah, you remember those so many years ago?"
Exactly. In the articles, it said that Eddie Hope was a sergeant back then. And when they arrested him for Felicia, he was only a lieutenant.
That's crazy. I want to look at how the DNA process works. Like, they collected the DNA from the first one, but they didn't find a match. They find the second one, they run the DNA, and they realize it's him. How did they not find the first DNA and know automatically, "Oh, this guy did this one too so many years ago"? Like, is there not a database they can just put it in and be like, "Oh, yeah"?
So, like, the first time they went out there and they did discover Dana's body, they ran her DNA. They couldn't find her DNA. But, like, whenever they ran the DNA, like, on her clothes and stuff like that, the semen they found, it came back to him.
Oh, it did?
And that's when...
Oh, that's right, because he said he did it. Never mind. I'm thinking too hard on this.
I think we're just tired, girl.
It's been a long week. I'm so tired, yeah. Like, that's crazy. I'm glad they brought her justice.
I know, I am too. And it's just... There's just so much more that I wish I could know about that case. Like, I was talking to Mom. I was like, "What if we just went up there? Like, we just went up to the jail and we're just like, tell us what you know, like..."
What else have you done?
Yeah, like, there's no way. This man is a serial killer. I'm definitely convinced he's killed more.
He's had to do more. He at least has had to have assaulted more. I mean, mm-hmm. to just go that long without killing anybody else or having anything else on his record other than from the years ago. He's had to have done more. But you would think he would confess to it if he's already confessed. Well,
or maybe he sexually assaulted people, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
Those people never came forward because he said, "Hey, I've killed somebody before, and if you tell anybody, I'll do it again."
Yeah.
Like, he seems like fully the type to do that.
Yeah. What a piece of crap.
I know, and makes me so mad. But yeah, it was very sad reading those statements and everything.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
Oh, and also... So I didn't forget, these things that I've got it from, so the articles I got it from was newsjournal.com, findagrave.com, and ketk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this video that I watched on a Dateline episode. They actually did an episode over this case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best video, guys. I'm not gonna lie. It's like previously on Dateline.
That's how a lot of them are, though. Previously. On Dateline.
It's horrible. It literally sounds like a librarian talking.
Very monotone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But no, it's on there, and they put a lot of information on there. That's where I mostly got it from, so. And it's under... I forgot. Oh, no. It's okay.
Probably the lavender dough or something like that.
Yeah, just look up NBCnews.com and then it's going to be under the woman with no name.
Woman with no name. But now she has a name.
Yes, now she has a name.
Well, I'm glad they were able to find it. Well, that's a good story.
Yeah, like I felt like it was really good because we did get justice in the end, even though it
took too long.
Took a long time, and even now, like, he's still breathing, and that irritates me.
So there we are.
There we are, y'all.
Well, I guess that's it for today.
Yeah, I hope y'all enjoyed. And if y'all know any more about this case, or if I was... I couldn't figure out whether or not I was saying her name right. If it was Dana or Dana. So feel free to correct me. I do not mind.
And we appreciate it. Follow us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We'll be back next Monday with a new story. I will be telling the story this time.
Ooh, and she's not telling me literally nothing about it.
I'm not telling her a thing.
It's really eating at me.
So, all right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Bye. Bye. Guys.